CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Everyone, welcome to Dishing with Digest. I'm Stephanie Sloan, editorial director, here with Mara Levinsky, senior editor.
Hi, everyone.
Well, Mara, when I was younger, I loved all novels by V.C. Andrews. I mean, Flowers in the Attic and that series was like my everything, and I continued to read her books as the years went on. So why do I mention this? Because anyone looking for soap-related programming for the next couple of weekends should tune into Lifetime. So the network is featuring two movies a weekend based on novels by V.C. Andrews, and will feature some soap faves who will play very different roles than we're used to. So this Saturday and Sunday, Young and Restless's Laura Lee Bell, who plays Cricket, or as I like to call her, Christine, will be featured in Ruby and Pearl in the Mist. And next weekend, Days of Our Lives alum Christian Alfonso will be featured in All That Glitters and Hidden Jewel. So I spoke to Christian for an interview in our new issue, and she told me that she actually got the call for the role as she was packing up her dressing room at Days last summer. So I hadn't spoken to her since she announced her exit from the show as Hope, so we never discussed like how that felt for her to go back and clear out her room. Well, for starters, her access card had been deactivated, so she had to prove who she was to security to get in. And she just said it was sad, and when she got in the car, she told her husband, Danny, you know, not to look at her because she could feel the tears forming.
I could feel the emotion in that interview when I read it. I mean, I've worked at Soap Opera Digest for 22 years, which is a long time, but doesn't hold a candle to how long Days and Hope were a huge part of Christian's life and identity. So I can only imagine how hard it must have been, you know, the finality of packing up her dressing room and so forth, especially because even though she's come and gone before, I think it's clear from what she has to say now that she believes this really is like the end of her, you know, Salem journey. Now in this issue, we are also reporting on the death of Gil Rogers, who I grew up loving as Hawk Shane, Reva's dad on Guiding Light. And All My Children fans will also remember as one of that show's all-time most menacing villains, Ray Gardner.
I remember.
So I got an email from Kim Delaney, who played Ray's daughter and is now on GH's Jackie, with her warm memories of him. And I actually got a call from Michael E. Knight, who's Martin on GH. He played Ray's biological son, Tad, and he also shared his memories of Gil with me. And I actually have the most random Gil Rogers memory of my own. And I don't even know that you know this story, Steph, but when I was graduating from Smith College, the graduating class parades through the assembled guests on their way to their seats, and everyone cheers as they walk by. And as I was making my way through this processional, whose face should I see in the crowd but Gil Rogers's? I would, of course, know his face anywhere. I mean, he was in my living room day after day, but he was just about the last person I expected to see in the flesh on that particular day. And I remember that my face clearly registered recognizing him, and we made eye contact. And a huge smile like spread over his face as he realized I was recognizing him, and he pointed at me and waved. And I never found out what he was doing there, you know, if he had a family member graduating or whatever, but it's a sweet memory for me. And his warmth was like really apparent to me in that moment.
Oh my gosh. I did not know that story. And I love that story. Oh, that's awesome. Now March 23rd marks the 34th anniversary of Bold and Beautiful. Also in this issue, I spoke to John McCook and Catherine Kelly Lang, the two remaining original cast members, for a totally fun piece. So I gave them 34 names of co-stars they worked with over the past 3+ decades. Thank you, Mara, for the suggestion, as well as the Bell Bell family and, you know, like ask them to share what stands out to them about each person. And it was a really neat walk down memory lane for them, you know, and for me. I mean, when is the last time you thought about Clayton Norcross, you know, the original Thorn? But it's amazing to think that those two have been on the show for that many years. I mean, I was in my dorm room at Syracuse when I watched the first episode. And it's just funny to think that B&B is the youngest soap on the air, and yet it's been on for 34 years. You know, there's so few shows on the air today that can make that claim to fame. Most now are lucky to get a second or third season, never mind 10, never mind 20, or what have you. And, you know, I was talking to Daisy Susan C4K for a story in one of our upcoming issues, and she made the point that there will always be a place on screen for this kind of continuing drama, and I really can't disagree with her.
Yeah, it's funny. When you were talking about the V.C. Andrews novels, I've actually never read one, but it made me think about my own obsession as a reader when I was like a preteen adolescent, which was the Sweet Valley High series, which was serialized. And instead of tuning in tomorrow, I had to wait until the next book in the series came out, which I think happened every month, if memory serves. And I would ride my scooter down to the bookstore and spend my allowance money. You know, I had quite the collection of these books, let me tell you. And then at a certain point, I discovered soaps and I dropped them. I mean, sorry, Jessica and Elizabeth Wakefield. But I think the point I'm making is that the attraction to a continuing story is so strong and so deep in me, and I think is very human, and it goes back centuries in media. I mean, Charles Dickens wrote in serialized form. And frankly, I think the survival of the four remaining soaps coming up on a decade as being the only four shows left is a really strong indicator of the passion that the audience has for the comfort and the tradition and the drama and the fun of taking five visits a week to these fictional towns that have become a part of our lives.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, based on the fact that we're seeing such strong generations next on each of these shows, there are still big plans for the future and for them to continue, which, of course, is great news all around. Now, our guests today definitely fall into that category. It's Days of Our Lives is Lindsay Arnold, who plays Allie Horton, and Lucas Adams, who plays Trip Dalton. So let's talk to them about their big story and what's ahead for Tally. Hi, Lindsay. Hi, Lucas.
Hello. Hello.
Thanks so much for being with us today.
Of course.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Well, we're excited to talk to you. Lucas, let's start with you. You grew up in Texas, so tell us about your childhood and how you became an actor.
Well, becoming an actor was kind of the random part of my childhood because I was very big into sports. I showed livestock. You know, I grew up in the middle of nowhere, 60 acres. Like, so I was a part of FFA. I used to show like lambs and goats for like livestock shows. Literally, like I was very into sports my entire life, and I used to do this like kind of competition, the school competition called oral reading and like prose and poetry. And where like as a kid, they would like tell you a story and then you'd have to tell it back in detail. And then I started doing, then like you had to do poems and you had to in voices and things like that as when I was like a second, third grader. And I loved doing that. I used to win every year and I would just like keep going. And I had never really thought anything of it until my sisters were like, hey, you should try acting when I got into high school. And there was like a thing in Dallas that I was like, okay, I'll see if I can figure it out. And I went down there and auditioned for like these agents. And then they're like, okay, yeah, cool. And then as I graduated high school and 3 weeks later, I moved out here to give it a shot. And I was like, might as well try it out. Well, you know, just jump in with 2 feet before you realize the water's cold. so you have to like kind of go for it. And then, yeah, I moved out here and a month later, I got a commercial that kind of helped pay my rent for the first couple of years, and then like literally just kind of snowballed from there. So I'm very lucky with everything that's just kind of happened and been the right place, the right time for a lot of it.
Well, Lindsay, so, you're from New York. Tell us your story.
So I'm from New York. I grew up in a little small town, and I did sports also kind of growing up, and then I actually got an injury where I almost went blind in my right eye. Like I was playing a soccer game and this kid hit the ball up and it hit my eye and almost tore my retina. Fancy. Whoa. Yeah. Very, very bad. And so I couldn't play sports for like 6 months, and I was a competitive gymnast. So I was just like out of sports for 6 months, and I kind of was looking for a new hobby. So I think my mom found some like local theater company who I ended up working with all throughout high school and stuff. They were doing a show I auditioned. It was Wizard of Oz. I played Glinda, the Good Witch. And I just immediately like fell in love with it. And I did my first show. I think I was 12 or 13, maybe 13. And then after doing that show for Christmas, I asked my parents for an agent. And they were like, well, that's not how this works, but we'll try our best to help you.
We'll see what we can do.
And so, I ended up getting an agent. And then I started doing mainly commercials and stuff throughout high school, booking little day roles on like SVU, kind of crime shows that film in New York. And then I just kind of kept auditioning into college, and then I ended up booking days, and that's when I moved out to LA. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, Lucas, I know you appeared on the Disney Channel, so tell us about that experience for you.
That was a funny one, because I always, as a kid, like, you know, you always joke about being that the silhouette character on Disney Channel that like, who's coming in next week, like to meet the girl kind of thing. And then I ended up being that kind of character, which is really funny. And so, I had to be like the California kid in that one. So I was like, that's complete opposite from like my personality. And so, so that was really fun. And I also met my girlfriend on that show, who it'll be 6 years in October for us. We met on that show. And so that, and I also met all of my best friends from that show. And so we still hang out we still hang out to this day, like every day, almost when we can, like, or when we could. And so now it's just been a lot of Zoom dance parties and things like that. Disney was such a family like feeling when you're there, because I loved everybody on that set. It was so much fun. And like, you're only filming 2 days out of the week, and the rest of the days you're rehearsing. So you're just kind of goofing around for three of those days. And so you just really get to like hang out and be like personal with everybody. And like, you're there every day too. So that was a lot of fun. That was like something that I was really like, this is something I'll remember my entire life, along with days. I mean, cause I've been here now for 3 years now, something like that. So like total four. Well, I mean, I'm talking about total wise. I had a year off, you know. But no,
count that.
No, exactly. But that's what I'm saying. Like, that's why like these experiences are like, they're so awesome, and they're going to be things that are like, yeah, I'll remember my entire life. And it's so fun.
Well, Lindsay, I should have asked you, like, were you ever bummed that like sports just sort of was off the table for you?
No.
I would have gone crazy.
I quickly realized that I was not a sports girl. I think as soon as it stopped, I was like, oh, I can very much live without this. So, which was crazy, because it was like my whole life. But I think I was also coming to an end with especially gymnastics and stuff like that. It was really intense to be 11 and like just at the gym all the time. I was like, no. So
this was just your excuse. Really.
I purposely almost blinded myself. No, but yeah.
It's like it went a little farther than you expected.
Yeah.
And how far outside of New York were you that you were able to travel?
I'm so, so grateful to my parents, and they had like flexible enough jobs that they could drive me down to the city a lot. I lived about an hour and a half north of the city. And I was grateful to my high school. I had a teacher in high school, because I would have to leave early from class all the time to go audition. And I had a teacher 1 year who, it was my last class of the day, and I was missing school all the time. And I was a good student, so he was chill about it. But he was like, oh, you decided to show up today? Like, thanks so much for coming to class. Because I lived an hour and a half out, so it wasn't too bad. And then once I got older, I could start taking the train and stuff. So not too far.
Lucas, as we mentioned, you joined Days of Our Lives in 2017 as Trip. So were you even familiar with soaps or the show before you came to daytime?
I was familiar with soaps. And it was actually my first ever speaking role was on a soap opera, which was on Young and the Restless when I was freshly 18. And I had an under five role where I remember it was the best dressed I had ever been before at that point in time in my life. Cause they gave me like a pea coat and like dressed up super nice and be like, wow, this is how we can dress. Even though it was like 100 degrees and I'm very hot in this thing, I feel awesome. And so I remember, my sister loved Days of Our Lives when, Kirsten Storms was here. Kirsten Storms. She was obsessed with her. And so like she used to watch it all the time when she was in high school, which she's 10 years older than me. So I was a little kid at the time. But like, that's why I was actually fairly familiar. And also, I mean, Dr. Drake Ramore, friends like Joey Tribbiani, that's really how I know Days of Our Lives the most at the time. And so, but I did go back and watched a bunch of things with Patch and Kayla and like just tried to figure out what the feel was, even though some of the things back filmed like in the 80s and 90s, completely different vibe than like what we're filming now. But I tried to familiarize myself as much as I could when I did come into the set.
Mm-hmm. So coming on, having familiarized yourself, did you have a sense of what iconic a character Patch was? Yeah.
Well, especially when my manager goes, "Oh my God, you're Patch's son." I remember being in college ironing like our shirts during our lunch hour as like, and we'd be ironing shirts and watching Days of Our Lives. And we used to think Patch was so hot. And I was like, and now you're his son. And I was like, yeah. So she actually got me more excited about it all because I just wasn't sure of the, I didn't know how big of an icon, how big of icons they were for the show until I really got in and like started talking to more of the fans about it as well. Cause I mean, the fan base for Patch and Kayla are like huge. So I remember when I first came in, I was like causing trouble for that. I was like, I'm going to get some pretty mean things coming at me here pretty soon.
Well, when you look back on starting at the show and your 2-year run the first time around, you know, what stands out to you now?
In a more of a negative way, the beard. I hated that beard so much. I hated it. I didn't like the way it grew. They kept trying to push me to have it growing. I'm like, guys, I don't grow a beard that well. It doesn't work that way. I can't just magically force myself to do so. And so, and like, they were like, you know, I'm very blonde. And so, like, they would, like, color some of it in to make it look a little darker. And I'm like, guys, we just don't need this. I was like, we just don't. And so I think that, weirdly enough, that's the thing that sticks out in my head the most because I fought so hard to be able to shave that. So, and they were like, no, we want to keep it for like a little bit. I'm like, why in the world do you want this? And so when they called me back, I was like, yes, I'd love to come back. I'm just telling you, I don't want to grow a beard. I'm going to tell you right now. I was like, if you want me to have a little bit of shadow, great. That's my ballpark. I was like, if you want me to grow a beard, can't do it. I was like, that's not my thing. I can't do a mustache. None of that. No, that's not how I do it. I was like, my face doesn't grow that well.
Well, as we referenced, you did leave the show for a time in 2019. What was that like for you?
That was interesting just because it was kind of sudden at the time. I was kind of figuring out that something was going on because mainly like there wasn't a lot going on for Trip at the time. Like I was just kind of in the background of stories. And so I was kind of curious on where they were going with my storyline. And at the time I was like, I just have no idea where they're going. And then, yeah, like 2 weeks later they call me and they're like, hey, so we're not going to pick you up, but we're going to send you to medical school. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. And they're like, so you're not dead. You're going to school. And we always need more doctors in Salem University. So remember. And I was always like, hey, okay, you know, whatever. I'm not going to take it personally. But then it was like the next week was my last episode. So I was like, oh crap. All right. So I guess, so like, I literally had like that whole year off and I did a couple of like small movies. I just kind of stayed working and then got to hang out, like just kind of just get a little vacation for a better part of a year, which was actually really nice. To then come back and then be in your house the whole next year. And so it was an interesting time of that because I had just gotten back into the groove. Like I had only worked 2 weeks when COVID hit. And so I had come back for 2 weeks and then they're like, I was like, man, I just got back into stride and like ready to go. And then now I go sit back there. And so, so that year was very, very interesting just because it was like, nice, and it was a little slower, which was nice, so I got to like kind of enjoy myself for that year but then just come back to work. And so that was kind of how that year was for me.
Now, Lindsay, you made your day's debut last year and, I mean, hit the ground running with a huge story. So what do you remember about your audition and what did you know about Days before you came?
So my whole audition process was just really so quick. It all happened within 2 weeks. So I sent in a video and then they ended up having me come out the next week to LA for a chemistry read. And then by the end of that week, they were like, can we have you on set on Monday? So I didn't have a ton of time and I didn't even know who I was playing until I got to set. And I didn't know that I was pregnant until the wardrobe people called me and they were like, okay, so we have to make room for the belly. And I was like, excuse me. And they're like, no, the pregnant belly. And I was like, since when am I pregnant? So it all happened really fast. And as for my character, I knew literally nothing until like 2 days before. And I knew a little bit about Days. I had watched it with my grandma growing up. Like she used to take us to work and she'd always have her soaps on in the back and me and my older sister would sit and watch them. So we knew a little bit. And like, Lucas was saying, I watched Friends. So I knew Days from there. And I always joke that I like manifested getting on Days because I've watched Friends 30 times. So I'm like, that's definitely how I knew it best. But, you know, I knew a little bit. I knew of Deidre Hall. I knew of Ali Sweeney, which is really cool because obviously now I'm so connected to them in the show and everything. So yeah, it was crazy.
So having so little time to prepare to play a legacy character with these, you know, infamous family ties, daughter of Lucas and Sammy, how did you approach trying to, I guess, channel them a little bit?
So it was actually kind of helpful that I didn't have that much time because I'm definitely an overthinker and it was almost better for me to just be thrown into it and be like, just do whatever comes to you when you're working. And I started off working so much with Ari and Greg, which was great because they were just really helpful with everything and kind of teaching me the ropes of being on a soap. And I wasn't working, like the first time I had to work with Deidre Hall, I was super nervous. I was super intimidated. And I had been working for like 2 or 3 weeks at that point. So I had kind of used that time to just learn, like, but I didn't really have time before. But it did help because I feel like then I was pretty nervous. So if I knew how, you know, iconic these characters were to the point that I know now, I would have been a lot more nervous, I think. So it did end up working out in the long run for me.
Well, you did start the show with a huge pregnancy pad, as you mentioned, not just like a few months pregnant. You were like way far along.
I was like halfway there.
So what was it like to just navigate a new job and the pace of soaps while wearing like a prosthetic stomach?
Yeah, it was just so strange. It kind of added this whole other layer to it because it was also then having this like physicality that I had to take on. I mean, it was so much fun. Honestly, I kind of missed the pregnancy pad. I got to wear really comfy clothes every day. I remember the first time they put me in something other than maternity jeans, not even regular jeans, like maternity jeans, and a hoodie and jeans. They put me in heels and I was like, oh, what is going on? Like, yeah. I don't know how to walk in these. I don't know what's going on. So it was really fun and I liked it. And I think it was, again, helpful because I did get to wear just really comfy clothes. I wasn't stressing about anything except just my acting. You know, I wasn't like, oh, what am I looking like or whatever. Cause I was like, she's pregnant. She's chilling. It was kind of like, it was also a lot of just meeting everyone because of that storyline. Like I got to meet all of the characters, which was really lucky. And again, just really helped me with kind of starting to fit in and like navigate all the storylines and all these characters. So that storyline was great to start with because it really combined everyone that I needed to know. So that was good for me.
And now on that same note, when you said like, they didn't tell you that you were pregnant, so they, you know, called you a wardrobe. That was like the same thing with our storyline. They called me saying that they were like, we want to bring Trip back with like a little bit more of an edge kind of thing, like back where he used to be. And I'm like, cool, sweet, awesome. And then I get here and that's when I'm like, oh, there's like, this is not the storyline I was expecting to come back to.
I didn't know about that storyline either.
Yeah, and they wouldn't. Yeah, they wouldn't tell us anything. Like we would, we'd be asking. I'm like, did I do this? And they're like, I'm like, because everything. And they're like, well, you'll find out. I'm like,
I remember when I was pregnant. I would ask, and I was like, who is the father? Like, can I know? And they would just be like, you don't even want to think about him. I was like, okay.
I guess I'll
play with that.
So, I remember getting the first script that, like, it hadn't, you know, referenced anything else. It just, like, that she ran into Henry's father at, you know, this town square thing. And I was reading that, and I was like, and I remember looking at shelves, and I'd be like, I was like, I think I might have a kid now in the show. I was like, I don't know. I was like, that's a whole new jump. I was like, I don't know what's going on. So yeah, that was a very surprising leap to go with.
They always do that.
Yes.
Well, Lucas, tell us like what it was like to actually get the call saying we want good old Trip and his new education back on the campus.
Yes, it was actually really exciting because it was like right before I was going back to Texas for Christmas. And so it was kind of like, they're like, hey, we're not sure yet. It was actually Marnie who called me. And she was like, hey, we're not sure yet, but there's been a lot of talks about you coming back. And I've been, you know, mentioning your name about it a bunch. And we're wondering if you'd be interested. And I was like, I mean, yeah, of course. So she's like, you know, I've heard about the time jump and things like that. So I was like, in my mind, I'm like, I might be a doctor by now. I was like, this would be kind of cool. So yeah, I'm down for it. But no, I was actually very excited, especially because the potential of like the storylines that could happen with anything with the hospital and then like finding out what was, because they literally told me none of this when they were like, what the storyline was really going on when I came back until I got the script. So I had no idea. And so I just thought they were coming. I was going to be like more like a black patch, you know, partner or something. But no. But no, I was very excited because I felt like I hadn't been gone that long anyway. And so when I came back, it was like I was just gone for like an extended vacation. And it kind of, that's why I was like really getting back into the groove and like running into everybody again in the hallways. And it was just kind of like, you know what, I'm back. And I feel like I never even left. And so it was really, really exciting just because I felt like I was back home.
Well, that's great. Because on a side note, I know I've told you many times that I felt like there was so much potential with Trip. There was, you know, that writing him out just seemed just like, what? So when they brought me back, it's so great because it really was.
Like there wasn't a lot going on in this story at that time when they wrote him to go to college. Because it was like, I was like, what? I had fallen in love with another woman that didn't really love me, the kind of thing again. And like, the Trip's had pretty bad luck with the ladies so far. And that's why it's just like, okay, am I like just this background for right now? And that's why whenever they told me that, I wasn't surprised. Cause I was like, oh yeah. I was like, I was curious where you're going to go with this. Cause yeah, I've been in this background giving, you know, via pills or whatever kind of thing for the last like 2 weeks. And I'm like, what do I need to be doing?
You've given us the sense that you did not know that your storyline was going to intersect. But do you remember meeting each other for the first time and what your first impressions were of one another, not as your characters, but as people?
You take this one.
Yeah, I think our first scene was our first scene was when I slapped you, I think, right?
Yeah,
and that's the first time we met.
We met, yeah.
I'm trying to remember, it's so long ago, but yeah, I think I just thought, I was like, oh, this guy's really nice. I was kind of nervous about slapping him because I have like really long arms and I thought I was just going to look like a spaghetti, like flying around.
You kept saying that too. You were like, I feel like I'm not going to get a good slap motion.
I think there was a pretty much immediate comfort with me, at least on my end. I was very comfortable with Lucas immediately, which obviously has been just really helpful for the stuff we had to go through together. So, because the first day they were like, all right, slap him. I mean, obviously I didn't really slap him, but I was like, that was my first time doing it.
I was all quote unquote stunt work. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, no, you're good. You're great.
Yeah. And I was just like, okay, I don't know. Like, which has been pretty much how our relationship has gone from there. It's just a lot of me being like, oh my God, I'm so nervous about this or blah, blah. Because it's like, you're going to be fine.
It's cool. It's fine. That's it's cool. Everything's been. Cool.
Yeah. So yeah, it was just good vibes from the start, I'd say.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It was very much, it's just like one of those like instant clicks that you're kind of like, cool, yeah. All right, someone easy to work with too.
That's what, like, I was gonna say. It was like easy from the beginning.
Yeah, and that's like the most helpful thing, because then you're like, sweet, that means I can automatically connect to this person and talk about the scene with this person and they know exactly what I'm talking about, which mm-hmm. is like sometimes the hardest part. Because, like, yeah. you want to make sure you're on the same page when you're doing the scene. And so I think that's what we really click a lot on, just being on the same page all the time.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Well, we referenced the pandemic shutdown. So can mm-hmm. you talk about how your rehearsal process and your efforts, you know, to connect with each other and the material, you know, before you get ready to tape are different now than they were pre-COVID?
Yeah, absolutely. It depends if you have good Wi-Fi. Because we have Microsoft Teams now, and so that's like what we mainly use. We can't really rehearse too much in person. If we do, it's basically right before we go through the door on the set when we're like waiting in the hallway. But we can't be in the hallways too long. And we always have to have our mask on, obviously. We like one person is in our dressing room only. We have like a occupancy sign on our doors.
Yeah.
So it's like one person. It's weird doing rehearsals over Zoom or like over Teams a lot. I was a very big, like, I'm a social butterfly with that kind of thing. Like I was always in the hair and makeup room talking to everybody, or I was in the hallways chit chatting. I was always somewhere else other than my room. And so now that I'm just confined to my room, it's weird. And so like that's probably the biggest change for me, is because I was never in one place. I was always in somebody, or if I was, I was in somebody else's room, because I didn't really want to be in mine. Like, and so that's like the weirdest change for me, mm-hmm. is just not being able to socially interact, even to run lines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's a fun aspect to it, where you mm-hmm. don't, it is very, you're just really reacting off the other person sometimes, especially if you don't yeah. have time to run lines or it's no bad Wi-Fi. But I think specifically with us two, we connect really well on the scenes. Luckily, we both have good Wi-Fi in our rooms.
Yes, we do. And we're not too far from the room, so we got the same umbrella of Wi-Fi here.
Yeah, so we're good on that. So, and with us, like, sometimes we'll sit on the phone for an hour, like, over mm-hmm. an hour sometimes, just talking and, like, even just talking about random life stuff and just kind of connecting yep. and getting in a good, you know, space with us. We also talk a lot about art, personal thoughts on the scenes, our thoughts on our characters, which obviously was really helpful for the storyline we just got through, because we would sit and just talk about, you know, the real world, not aspect, but, you know, the real world, like, ramifications.
Portrayals. Yeah.
Yeah, portrayals and ramifications and all of that stuff around it, which, again, just created this really safe space for me to do my work, and, you know, I think vice versa. So that's been really great.
Absolutely.
And we just talk a lot. I think that's kind of what it is. We just talk through everything, and that's kind of our new way of rehearsing, I guess I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We will literally like be in the middle of a scene, and then we'll talk about like, okay, I have this paragraph. I'm not sure how I'm supposed to be saying this because
yeah.
of this, you know, this aspect and this aspect, and this aspect. And then we'll have just a whole conversation about like what we're feeling in that scene, and then that mm-hmm. and yeah, like you said, it makes that comfortability go so high, because then you're yeah. like, okay, now we're both really on this same page of feelings and like
yeah.
and like you said, like the reacting to each other of like the, mm-hmm. throughout the scene, it really helps. And
like,
so
we
that,
always
I think,
know where we're at, we always know where like us as yeah. individuals are at, and so it just makes it easier, I think, when we're working together.
Yeah, and we talk through yeah. like everything. And so if when we had some of like more intimate scenes, when we had the flashback and things, we would talk about everything we were doing and like, okay, mm-hmm. let's discuss this, let's discuss that.
Yeah.
And like, and yeah, so like it was, we always just, I think like you said it the best, like we just talk about everything, and that
everything.
helps out a bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's our way of rehearsing now.
It's our way of doing things.
That's how we do it.
Like that. Yeah.
So you told us that neither of you knew the true identity of Allie's rapist until mm-hmm. much time.
We figured it out eventually.
But, yeah, tell us the story yeah. of you figuring it out and becoming in the know.
We asked a bunch of questions. Yeah. That's what we did. Yeah. That was one of the things we did.
We were trying to
slip up at one point.
Yeah. Yeah, we were asking wardrobe people. We were like, who did it? Like, who
so
do you think
you
did
know?
It?
Yeah, what have you found out? Like,
it was so funny. We were like, we'd be whispering in the halls. We'd be like, oh, what do you know? Like, tell us. Yeah. So because before we found out, or I think we had is that how you found out?
Well, yeah, I remember it was like we were doing a scene and she came over to me and she's like, yeah, and you're feeling really guilty because you obviously didn't do this. And then I'm like, I didn't do this.
She just says it so casually, and we've been wondering this.
No, this whole time I was like, well, I've been wondering. That was like the turning point for me, because that's when I was like, okay, now I'm going to find out who this name, like what the name of this character is. So that's when you're really going, that's when you got to like what we say, ask like wardrobe people and stuff, because you go, listen, I already know it wasn't me. So just like, who did it now? I would always pull the, Janet already told me that it wasn't me, so you can tell me now because Janet already said it was okay. And when I found out,
we sound like children, like annoying children.
We had to figure out the storylines. They won't tell us anything. Yeah. I'm so curious. And then when we found out it was Charlie, I was like, oh, okay, Charlie. And then Mike, when he ends up getting it, he messaged me. He texted me. He was like, hey man, are you still on dates? I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh cool, I'm coming to the show. And I was like, interesting, who are you playing? And he's like, this character named Charlie. And I was like, oh, okay, I think I know what's going on with you. And we ended up meeting up at like just outside at one point because he wanted to talk about the show. And I remember we were talking about it, and I was like, and then Shelby ends up accidentally being like, yeah, it's crazy like that you guys are brothers. And he goes, what? And she goes, and he goes, what? And she's like, not what? She says, like, I don't know. And he's like, I don't know anything about the story. And I'm like, oh. And I look at him, I go, I think I know a lot more about this storyline than you do, man. And I was like, I don't know if I'm supposed to tell you yet, so I'm not going to. And I was like, and he goes, I'm not going to be the one to tell you. I was like, I'm not going to be getting in trouble. I was like, you can ask anybody else. But I was like, I'll tell you the minimal amount. But
you're
now
you can't know.
I was like, listen, they didn't tell me anything, so maybe they don't want you to know anything, so I'm not gonna tell you anything either. So yeah. Like, you can figure it out yourself. He's like,
yeah, that's, I think though, from the beginning we knew it wasn't gonna be Trip. Like, I think everyone knew that, A, because soaps are never gonna be that like crystal clear. Yeah. Two, because we just knew that wasn't, we were like, that doesn't make any sense for your character.
I was almost mad at first, because we had this conversation, because I was like, this makes no sense for a Trip, because I was like, he already dated a survivor of this, that he was like very sincere and like always like we, you know, taking everything slow to her, like, mm-hmm. Like I'm like, so this
really
makes
respectful.
No sense. Like, why would I do this now? And so I was taking it very personally for a little bit. Because I was, you know, I love this character, and so I was like, why are you making him so bad?
Yeah, that's not him. Yeah.
Well, tell us your experience of working with Mike Manning.
I mean, I loved it. Sorry. Like I was about to say, you probably worked with him honestly more than I did with some of this.
Did I? You think?
I don't know. I mean, we had more of our confrontations than anything.
Yeah, I feel like you guys had confrontations. Working with Mike was interesting because really I only had like two or three scenes with him after coming to the realization that he was the one who had assaulted Allie. So I didn't have the scenes before. I mean, Mike's literally the best. He's so lovely.
Super, yeah,
and
super sweet.
I remember when we had the scenes that were the flashbacks to the actual event. Oh my God, poor Mike was like verge of tears. This man did not, he was so disgusted. I was like, I felt so bad because he had reached out to me being like, please, let's have a conversation. Like, let's talk to me if you need, you know, anything. He always, of course, was making sure I was really comfortable. He was like, let's talk about anything you want to talk about. Text me whenever, call me, whatever. And I was kind of fine because I had already gotten my emotional stuff out of the way that I did with Marlena. And these scenes were, you know, kind of quick. But oh my God, Mike was so, so did not want to do it. He was like, oh, this sucks. I hate this guy. Like, whatever. So he could not be farther from his character. So it was always really fun working with him. And even we had a scene that was kind of emotional. And you know, just leading up to it, we were like cracking in jokes at each other, like having so much fun. Then they were like, okay, we hate each other. Like, get into it. So, but he's the, like, I love him. He's a really great person and actor. So it was always really fun working with him, even though our scenes were not always the most fun.
And I've known him for years, like for the last, you know, 7-8 years. And so I was just excited. I was like, oh man, we get to work together. This is awesome. And then like, turns out being my brother, it's just like kind of just like a cool thing. But then we have never, ever had any type of confrontation in real life. Cause like she said, he's like the nicest person.
And you're also so nice. It's like two really nice people.
And we've always like vibed well together. So we just, we never really think about that kind of thing. And then like, I was like, this is gonna be fun getting to like yell at you for a little bit. I was like, this is gonna be nice. And so we just got to have like a fun time of just getting to actually like act together, even though we've known each other for years and always talked about it. We actually finally got to do it. And so that we had a blast doing that. We FaceTimed like the day before and I just like ran all of our scenes because we wanted to be like on point. So we were excited.
Well, now that the truth about what happened that night is out, it's cleared the way for the show to explore what appears to be some real genuine romantic potential for Tripp and Allie. Now, Soap Opera Digest did a poll where readers voted 67% in favor of pairing your characters. That's a pretty good score. So, yeah. You know, what do you think about that? Do you think they could be a good match?
I think it's definitely an interesting pairing because obviously everything that happened. But I think that they both went through a really tough situation together, obviously in super different ways, but surrounding the same person and, you know, this whole thing. So I think that can be a really bonding experience. So it totally makes sense that they're like kind of, you know, not just like connected to each other in that way because they have this shared experience that was so intense. So I think it makes sense for them to start forming a relationship, like a friendship at least, you know, because they're just, they have so much to talk about, they're connecting, whatever. So yeah, I think it makes sense for them to kind of, obviously also, you know, before this whole night happened, there was a connection that we saw, you know, we already did have a connection. So I think, you know, it was there a year or whatever ago that happened. So it makes sense.
Yeah. I was like a year and some change or something.
Yeah. I was gonna say
basically like the same thing. It's just that it was like they clearly had some sort of spark beforehand, and then, you know, just very bad things happened in between that you just can't, you know, help in that way. And then I think that it's been nice though that they're playing it fairly slow, that it is like the friendship really first, because it is something that it's a hill that they have to climb together, that
it's important, you know, it's to build that friendship first,
sweep under the rug. They can't just get rid of it and be like, oh, it was gone, you know. So like, it is something that's an underlying factor. I think that's something that I think we talk about a lot in a lot of the scenes. And I really like the idea of, because I think, like you said, like there's a lot of potential between these two characters that could grow so well. And it's like, but I want it to be very genuine, and I don't want it to be rushed. I don't want it to be anything like that. Cause I don't want it to feel like, oh, there's two single people in the town. They need to be together, obviously, right away. And it's like, it's like, whoa, hang on. Like, they did just go, like you said, through this traumatic experience that they need to really work through themselves as well as a couple. And so if they want to really build this relationship, they have to build the foundation of the relationship first. And so I think that, really, really taking it slow and like letting the sparks fly, you know, like out into the wind, and then like see if something catches a flame instead of like, you know, really just like putting some gasoline on it. You know?
I agree.
And they do
weird
have
analogy, but yeah.
No, it's a good one. They do have an actual connection. I mean, Henry is Tripp's nephew.
No, and that really helps the bond form more too, I think, because it's like, he does, like, his Tripp had a terrible childhood, and so I think, and he had a terrible father figure growing up until he met Patch. So I think he also feels like he doesn't want this child to grow up without that same feeling, even if it is just from an uncle. He just wants somebody to be in his life like that. And I think that he's taking a lot of his own personal baggage and putting it into that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think too that's really important for Allie, obviously, because Henry's like the biggest part of her life. So she would need someone who loves him so much. And also, like, it's always great when guys are good with kids. So especially if it's like your kid, you're going to just, you'll swoon a little. Cause like, you know, it's really nice. Like, I think she sees him kind of always helping with Henry and is like, this is so, like, this is just so nice, you know?
Well, it is funny working with that little baby too, the baby doll.
Say, tell us about working with the baby or a fake baby. What is it?
It's weirdly heavy. Like, it's like, it feels like you're holding a baby. Like the first time I ever held it.
I have so much beef with this baby. me and this baby are not
friends. Talked about this baby all the time.
I hate this baby.
I remember the first time I ever had to hold the baby. It feels weirdly real. Like, it really does. And, like, the legs hook around.
It looks weirdly real.
And, like, the legs, like, hook around your, like, your arm when you're holding it. And, like, you know, like, the head is, like, the neck is, like, not supported, the kind of thing. So you have to actually, like, support the head. And, like, it has some weight to it. And I remember the first time I'm, like, we're, like, in between scenes. They're giving, like, us notes about it. And I'm, like, still just, like, sitting there. And I'm, like, bouncing this baby. And I just, like, I turn and like look into the camera and I go, why am I bouncing this thing? Like, it's not real. I was like, but it felt so real that I'm just like talking and I'm just like getting back. This is what you do. And I was like, what am I doing? I'm like bouncing this fake baby because I feel like it felt natural just to like keep it calm. And I'm like, what am I doing?
It's so weird.
Okay. I you said you had beef with the baby. That might be my favorite phrase ever. Break it down. Guys, talk through the conflict with the baby.
Because this baby, so the first time I saw this baby, there are two babies, but we'll go with the main baby because they switched it up one time. And then I was like,
it didn't
this
work out.
No. So they gave the original baby back. Yeah. This baby, the first time I saw it, I literally let out a scream. Like, I was like, oh my God, like, this baby is scary, you guys. It has these, like, the hair on its head. Oh my God. It looks like a Chucky doll. It's very freaky. And it's just,
it looks like
really,
Chucky doll before the trauma of Chucky.
Yeah. It's not as scary as Chucky, but it has this hair. Oh, it's just really realistic. So I'm like, okay, you freak me out. Like, every time I see this baby, I'm like, you're weird. Like, it's like how I start all my scenes, just bullying this inanimate object. But I also do not know how to hold a baby. So like every single time we were doing it one time and the director's
she does
like,
not.
It's so bad. The director's like, Lindsay, he's like, Lindsay, the neck. I was like, oh my God, I forgot about this neck. Like, I don't know. Like, does it have,
I asked,
does this thing have a neck yet? And they were like, what? Like, of course, yes, the baby has a neck. You just have to hold it.
Does this thing got a neck?
I, every time I have to take it out of the carrier, I'm like, can someone else, can someone else do it? Yeah. Can we cheat it? Can it already be out of there? Because it's just, it does feel like a real baby. It is heavy enough to be a real baby. The head, if you don't hold it, is like to the side. So it's kind of like, I have beef with it because it's frightening to look at. And then B, I have beef with it because I don't know how babies work. So
that's the
beef
of this podcast
on my, right. Yeah.
I don't know how babies work.
So that's been, you know, really interesting. And I feel like, again, it's been helpful because Allie is also figuring out how babies work as Lindsay figures out how babies work. Man. So it's kind of a beautiful connection.
I gotta say, I would put money on the fact that Allie knew that babies had necks from birth.
Something like that. Yeah.
Okay,
at least idea of it, you know?
I knew that it had a neck from birth. I just wasn't.
This thing got a neck yet? What's going on?
Like, didn't know how to word it. And I think everyone on set was just like, is this girl okay? I just don't. Allie does have some lines, though, that I'm like, Allie, girly, didn't you just go to college? She had a line. I don't remember what it was. Recently, I had a line that was like, oh, why does it matter who murdered him? Like, let's just drop the case. And I was like, Allie, you can't do that. So you know what?
She might
have not known that babies had necks either. I wouldn't put it past her.
She's got a lot to learn. That's what happens when Sammy's got them like all over the world, not really like people. And
I know. She doesn't know anything.
That's so funny. Well, do you have any favorite moments or scenes that you've played together?
Oh, well, I mean, one of the ones that we always talk about, just because like we also felt bad because it took, we had like 10 takes.
Oh my God. And usually you really get one. You get like one or two takes, and they were so nice, and they let us do like so many.
Oh yeah, and it was when she had the gun on me, and it was just like, you know, everything's amped up and like ready to go, and like we were getting so amped up every take, and then like throughout the takes we'd be like, okay, and we'd get just tongue tied.
It was just so much energy.
Yeah, we're both like bouncing around for a second. We're like sweating. Like, okay, let's do it again. Like the 10th take, we finally got it, and we were just like, "Yeah, thank you."
Because we had to say all of this like legislative jargon. Yeah. Like, try saying jurisdiction really when you're really amped up with a gun and you're like shaking. It is impossible, guys.
Yeah,
let me tell you, it is not easy.
Trying to sound frantic, and you're like, you're amped up. You're like, wait,
it was just, oh my God. That scene, we were both really stressed out, because also me and Lucas always know our lines. We're always on top of our stuff. Like, it is so out of character for us to have to like to mess up our lines. We rarely do it. So we both
more than like two takes.
And we both also just felt horrible. We were like, oh my God, we're like doing so bad. So it was
We're wasting everybody's time now. What is going on? Like, now we're not even getting this thing done.
Oh my God.
Like, we still have like three other scenes after this. what do we got? Are we going to mess those up this badly? Like, great.
It was going to be fantastic. Yeah, that was a very chaotic day. But we have had some really fun, cute scenes.
Yeah, there's some scenes that are, I was like, that aren't airing yet, that are really cute, that are just funny cute, because they're we had so much fun filming them.
I'm excited to kind of see as our friendship on the show grow, like as Allie and Trip, you know, get closer. It's really cute.
I'm not gonna say anything about what it is, but I'll say that it has to do with spit up, and that was probably something that we laughed.
I forgot about that, we laughed really hard.
No, Lucas, Janet already told me, you can totally tell
okay, then great.
Well, that's so funny.
One thing you both have in common on the show is that you play the children of really incredible actors. So first, Lucas, tell us, if you would, about what it has been like to work with Stephen Nichols and Mary Beth Evans and your relationships with them.
Oh, I mean, first of all, it's literally like a masterclass when you're watching them in the works. Cause for one, Mary Beth will always tell you that she never knows her lines. It's a lie. She always knows her lines. She just sometimes won't say them all perfectly until we, you know, say action, but she always jokes about that. And Steven is like the most, like, he knows everything about what's going on in the day's world, kind of thing. Like, and like when you're doing a scene with him, he's like, you're like, well, what were we just talking about? Well, it's like, well, we were talking about this because you're feeling this way about this, this, and this. And you're like, okay, great. And then you immediately put your headspace into that scene. And that's what Steven is probably like one of the best at. And he's able to like if we have like a sentence, because, you know, sometimes some sentences, like the writers are writing so many scripts, sometimes like there are things that are repetitive or like things like that. Like, and he's amazing at like, we'll just reword it this way. Or like he could like rewrite something just slightly to be like, and it's the same thing, but just different words. And it's literally watching like these two pros just, you know, work this masterpiece when they're like, they're doing it every single time. And so the fact that when I first started, they basically just like took me under their wing and they were like, you're our kid now, kind of thing. I'm like, okay, great. And so they really helped me grow. I mean, grow as an actor, especially, and on this show, really, really dive deep into some of these storylines and like, just like fully embrace the town and like the character and just like fully just take it into yourself and go, this is you now. Like, this is the character. Like, this is going to be so much fun. And they add such a family like feeling, but also like you're saying, like a comfortability where it's like I feel so comfortable when I'm like doing scenes with them. Mm-hmm. And it's just an incredible feeling, because it does feel like they're like my two parents, like on this show. And, but they're also like best friends as well, like of mine. So like, it's a friend parent relationship. So it's really fun.
Well, someone you didn't have the first time around is Tamara Braun, who now is back
yes.
with Ava. So tell us what it's been like with her.
She's so much fun.
She's awesome.
I love her. And so, and she is, she's been, yeah, like, now she has like such that she always calls me her, like she always says, oh, there's my son when I see her in the hallway. But like, I consider her such as like a close friend more than like a mother kind of thing. And like, it, cause we same thing with like Lindsay and I, like we'll, when we start doing scenes, we'll talk for like 30 minutes before we even do any scenes, and we'll just talk for a bit. And then like, now we'll get into it. And so like, I love having Tamara here. She's so much fun. So easy to work with too. And like, she's also very technical with the scenes, that really helps you. I mean, it really, like having someone else that like really goes, now we're into character, like you're like, oh, it helps you go into character so much easier. And like, you don't have to worry about like, is this person going to bring me, you know, exactly what I'm hoping kind of thing. It's like, oh, Tamara, she's going to bring it every single time. Yes. She's going to be way better than you are kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, you have to like really up your game when you have her on. But I love having Tamara. She's amazing. Add a little spice to it. You know, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and then really fun. Lindsay, not too shabby on your end. You have Alex Sweeney, Ryan DiCillo, Ariane Zucker in your midst. You know, tell us about working with those pros.
So I have probably honestly worked with Ari the most out of like anyone on the show, I feel. And I love that woman so much. She's just so funny. We have so much fun together. We always are like, oh my God, she's like an angel. I love her so much. But we just have so much fun, and she's hilarious. She's one of the funniest people I've ever met. So whenever we're on set, we're just like always goofing around. And, you know, again, it's that like, we have a great connection, and it's really, really easy to work with her. We're always super open, you know, with each other. So we get great stuff from it. And working with, it's so funny, because working with Brian and Allie, I feel like Brian, me and Allie, I feel work really similarly in the way that we'll be like, all right, let's run these lines. Let's, you know, talk a little bit. And I love working with her. And we had scenes the other day actually where we were like, oh, we love working together. These are always such like lovely scenes. But obviously she's Allie Sweeney, so she always brings it, which is great for me, because I'm like, just as long as I'm receptive, I can like work off of her so well and so easily, which makes my job like a million times easier when you're working with someone who's so talented. And Brian, I always say this about Brian, but he has this gift of like, he will be joking and laughing and being like his sarcastic self up until they're like action. And then he's like, ha ha ha. And he's like, Allie. Like, he just immediately goes into character. And I'm like, I don't know how he does that, because I sometimes, you know, I need a few, at least seconds before to kind of get into my character. And he'll just like be joking up until the minute it goes. And I have said this to him before too, but like the first time I worked with him, he was joking around and I was like not laughing, because I was like, I'm new here. I need people to think I'm serious. I can't laugh at any of your jokes.
Because
I was like, I'm a professional. But yeah, so he's really, really fun to work with. And it's just been so awesome working with them. And it's just, you know, again, like Lucas was saying, they just have helped me so much grow as an actor. That's how I feel, you know, with Lucas. Like, it's very easy, and it just like, it feels natural, which is what you're trying to achieve when you're acting. It's just getting those natural emotions and feelings. And, you know, I think it's because everyone on set is so lovely and so, like, there is just a comfort with everyone. There's a trust with everyone of like, whatever you do, I'm going to work with you and we're going to do it. And I think it's also, you know, a reflection of Soaps as a whole, because you don't have a lot of time to make decisions. So you have to be open and honest with the people you're working with. Because you don't have time to redo it, or, you know, unless you're me and Lucas that one time. But other than that, you don't have time to redo it. So, it's just really special.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lindsay, you are coming up on the 1-year anniversary of your debut. So how would you sum up your first year in Salem?
I mean, this year was a very emotional year. My first year in Salem was a lot of crying. I had weeks where I was just crying every single day at work. And it was honestly very draining. Like, it was a very draining past year. I mean, also, of course, there was a pandemic, so I had a lot of time off. But, you know, then I came back and it was just this really intense storyline. So I am really excited to see Allie kind of get to show a lighter side of her and explore that young, fun side, because it has literally been just like a dark, stormy cloud over Allie since she arrived. And
over your head, just following
over my head, just constantly. So it's been so fun, even these past, you know, few weeks that it's kind of been lightening up. It's been so fun exploring this different side of her personality. So I'm really glad that I kind of came in and did such a heavy storyline, because I feel like it got me real comfortable with everybody, with, you know, right away, you know, cried to everybody like on set at one point. So yeah, it's been definitely draining, but it's been really, really fulfilling. I'm really proud of a lot of the work that I did over the past year. So I'm excited to kind of see where things go from here with her. It's very exciting now.
For each of you, how would you say that being cast on Days has changed your life?
Oh, I mean, I was like a complete turnaround. I was, obviously, I live in Los Angeles now. I lived in New York. I was going to college. Now I don't. Like, it's just been a whole turnaround. It's been, you know, this is definitely like was a huge step in me, in my career. And it's just, you know, been completely life-changing. I've moved. I'm, you know, just like working all the time. I'm financially independent, which is really cool. It's just been a whole, like, I'm fully adulting. It's just been a full, it's fully really adulting. Turned me into an adult really fast. So it's been insane.
Yeah. And mine is just, it's changed me just because, like, it's really helped me become a better actor in general. And like, I think it really helps, help me like dive into scenes a lot easier instead of like, I think I used to overthink, like you're saying, like I'm very much in my head still, but like I used to overthink a lot of scenes when there's some scenes that the subtlety is the best part about them. And so, and I think this is something that's really helped me learn throughout the years I've been here. And so I think that's really changed me. And also it's just, my memorization skills are very, very well, like high up right now. So I'm very happy with that. And, but no, I think that it's just, like I said before, like this is such a family oriented show. And like, it says, it's like everybody here feels like you're part of a family that like, I can't wait until we're able to all hang out again. Cause just to everybody go out and get a drink or go to a restaurant or something.
Same.
Just because that was something I missed so much about this, because these are friends that we'll have our entire lives, because like you're with them all the time, like they're the loveliest of people, and you want, they're people you want to be around instead of just like, oh, they surround you. No, like you want to surround yourself with these types of people. And so that's something like I think has really changed the most, is just that like I want all these people to be around me all the time.
Well, before we let you go, anything you want to say directly to the Days fans?
Ooh, stay tuned. You're going to have some fun.
Yeah, get excited, because I think it's about to get really good. And just, of course, thank you guys for watching and all the support on Allie and Trip we've been getting. We've actually been getting a lot of really
Tally
nice tweets.
Or Trally, which are really funny.
I think it's Tally. That's the one I've
Tally
seen
sounds
more.
Better to me Tally than sounds Trally. Better.
Trolley like, sounds like trolley a trolley.
Sounds like a weird, like, I was about to say that. I was like, it sounds like a weird trolley that you like can't ride. But not like you're not allowed
Tally's
to. Like
cool.
It's been closed down for years. But not yet. Like,
abandoned.
No. Yeah, abandoned. There's like all kinds of stuff going on with that trolley. You don't want that.
We love. Yeah. We like the Tally. So from Tally, Trip and Allie, you say Tally.
Tally is what we want.
Tally it is. Well, this was so much fun. Thank you both so much for spending so much time with us today. And you're going to come back COVID negative and go right to work. Yep.
Hopefully.
That's all we do.
Well, have a great day and hope to talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank
bye,
so
guys.
Much. We appreciate Thanks. It.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to Lindsay Arnold and Lucas Adams for being our guests. If you like this podcast, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to pick up a new issue on sale now and come back next week for another podcast.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.